Amen. Turn in your Bibles to John 12, verse 21. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 21. And it's great to be back preaching. It's been a couple of weeks and had Mother's Day. Sister Melanie brought a wonderful message on Mother's Day. If you missed it, make sure you catch up on that. And then last weekend, I was ministering down for our good friend in Melbourne, Pastor Chalosky. But I'm thankful. I'm continuously thankful, church, for the tremendous honor of being called your pastor. It's a privilege, and I do not take any time that I step to this holy desk. I don't take it lightly, because the Bible puts an enormous responsibility on a pastor to give account for the souls of those in the flock. And so I want to say thank you on behalf of my family. As I was driving to church today, I began to think about the wonderful congregation we have, and I thank you. I thank you. And you know what? There's going to be nothing better. And the greatest gift you could give your pastor is, let's all go to the New Jerusalem together. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. The greatest gift you could ever do for your pastor is make sure you get to heaven with me. Let's go together, church. Let's go to heaven together. That's the greatest thing. That's my greatest prayer, that we will make it when Jesus comes back, that we as a church, we as individuals, we hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Be faithful, church. Amen. John 12, verse 21. John 12, verse 21. "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him." Somebody came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They said, "We want to see Jesus. We want to know Jesus." Came to Philip and said, "We want to see Jesus." Everybody say Jesus. Everybody say it again. Jesus. I want to preach today just very simply this. One name, Jesus. One name, Jesus. And I didn't prepare this today. I prepared this on Thursday. One name, Jesus. Number one, vote one. Who? Jesus. One name, one answer. One answer. He's still the answer for the world today. One name, and that name is Jesus. And as they came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus. We want to know Jesus. We want to see Jesus." And I'm here, old school or not, I'm here to proclaim the one saving name, the most powerful name, and that is the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to open your word. Now, right now, Lord, turn me into a microphone from heaven. Lord, I don't want to be a distraction to what you want to say to your church today. Lord, I pray that faith would come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our hearts to receive. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. One name, just one name. And that is Jesus. Praise God. You see, if we ever hope to properly understand the Bible, if we ever want to handle the Word of God, the Holy Bible, correctly, we must understand the thrust. We must grasp the story, for want of a better word, the story of the Bible. 66 books of various genres, prophecy, poetry, history, stories, all of those things. 66 books of different genres. More than 40 different authors of a variety of backgrounds and occupations. More than 1,500 years, 10 civilizations, 3 continents, 3 languages, but one unified story. Everyone say one story. You see, the Bible is one ultimate plan. The Bible is one ultimate plot. The Bible has one ultimate champion. The Bible has one ultimate king, and that is... Let me say that again. The Bible has one ultimate champion. The Bible has one ultimate king, and that is... And so it's been said that the New Testament is Christ revealed and the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The Old Testament has also been said to be like a room full of treasures, but the room was lit dimly. The Old Testament is full of those treasures where prophets are predicting and foretelling the coming of Jesus. The Old Testament, as Hebrews says, is full of types and shadows. The Old Testament is full of promises that we anticipate Him. The Gospels are the manifestation of Jesus. The Acts, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles is the proclamation and the preaching of Jesus. The epistles, which were written to the church, is the explanation of Jesus. Revelation is about His second coming and us being His bride and going to be with Him. You see, this Bible from cover to cover is about one story. It's about one name. It's about one Savior, and His name is... Hallelujah. I'm just a little bit excited to preach Jesus today. You see, from the beginning to the end, your Bible, your Holy Bible, is one epic story about Jesus. And if I don't preach Jesus today, I've got nothing to preach. Everything comes back to Jesus. The whole Bible, one person said, if you cut the Bible in any place, it's going to bleed because it's about the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate ology. Everyone say ology. There's lots of ologies. I typed in ology in Google and there was just pages and pages of ologies. There's criminology, which is the study of criminals. There's biology, which is the study of life. There's anthropology, which is the study of man. There's psychology, which is the study of the mind. There's cardiology, which is the study of the heart. And there's even politology, which is the study of politics. But Jesus is the ultimate ology. Christology. The study of Jesus is the ultimate ology. You can learn everything in this world, but you haven't learned the most important thing unless you know about Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here on planet Earth today, church. That's why God hasn't raptured us already. We're here today to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're here to proclaim that Jesus can still save lives. We are here to proclaim that there is deliverance and healing in Jesus' name. He is the ultimate ology. He is the ultimate Christology, the study of Jesus' life, His resurrection, His ascension, His earthly life, His humanity, His deity, the prophecies of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus. Christology is the ultimate ology. Why? Because there is no other name that given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one name, and it is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. And so the world has turned to all sorts of things. The world is more spiritual than it's ever been. People don't think the world's spiritual, but just go and look at the movies. Everything's got some spiritual part. I'm not saying that they're seeking the God, our God, but the world is spiritual. They're turning to psychics. They're turning to witchcraft. They're turning to even science and doctors. And I don't have anything against science or doctors or prescriptions. They're turning to alternative lifestyles and all this sort of stuff. But I'm here to tell you, with all those things that are in the world, there is only one remedy for sin. There is only one answer for humankind. There is only one answer for salvation, and that is Jesus. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. He is still the answer for the world today. You see, Jesus didn't say, I am a way. A lot of people like to think Jesus like that. Like, okay, each to their own. You got your way and I've got my way. Jesus did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. Jesus didn't say, I'll show you the way. No, He said, I am the way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I may sound old school today, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the answer for the world today. I got one name, I got one word, and that is Jesus. You see, the systems of this world cannot be repaired without Jesus. Without Jesus, we have no way, because He is the way. And politics is not the answer. Politics has never been the answer and will never be the answer. And I had this message prepared on Thursday, and the interpreters have my notes. Right wing is not the answer. Left wing is not the answer. Progressive is not the answer. Conservative is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. This world doesn't need to be rebuilt. This world needs to be reborn. There is only one solution for this world, and that is Jesus. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And I boldly proclaim, without divine intervention today, church, we don't have a chance. We are living in the last days. We've got to get a hold of the Word of God. We've got to get a hold of our relationship with Jesus and say, come hell or high water, I'm serving Jesus. I don't care what the world does, I'm living for Jesus. I don't care what solutions they've got in the world, I'm looking and keeping my eyes on Jesus. Romans 8 verse 22, I'll calm down now, sorry church. Romans chapter 8 verse 22, it says this. Romans 8 verse 22, it says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You see, until now, creation groans. When God created the world, and He created the world in those 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. And when God finished His creation, He looked over it and He said, it is good. Everybody say good. It was a good creation, but today it's a groaning creation. Suffering, death, pain, decay, bondage. Why? It's all a result of sin. And Paul said to the church at Rome, he said, for we know that the whole creation groans. He said, creation labors with birth pangs together until now. That groaning, those birth pangs that Paul is talking about, we might like to pray them away, but we won't pray them away. The difficulties and the groanings that we are experiencing on earth, we may wish them away, but you know, all that groaning is not useless. All the pains that we are experiencing as a church and as Christians are not useless. Paul said those groanings are like a woman travailing. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You see, we don't focus on the pain. We don't focus on the sufferings, but we look forward to the glorious day of Jesus' return. Yes, the world is groaning. Yes, the world is in pain. Yes, there's lots of stuff going on in the world, but all these groanings are not useless. Why? Because there is coming the fullness of time when Jesus will come back for His church. And when those pains start, as painful as the birth contractions and the pains of a woman start, yes, it's hard and it's not nice, and yes, it's difficult, but she wouldn't want it any other way. Yes, it's not easy, but the mother would not want it any other way. Why? Because she knows the baby is coming soon. Soon she will hold that baby in her arms. Soon she will hold her beautiful daughter or beautiful son. And as the husband stands there and sees all the pain, he can't do anything about it. But he knows that when we get through, there's coming a day we're going to hold new birth in our hands. And I want to tell you, Paul says creation is groaning, and it's not useless groaning. It's not useless pain. Why? Because we know that this earth is getting ready for the return of the Savior. This earth is getting ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Paul went on to say this. He said in Romans 8 verse 18, he said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can we read that together as a church? It's on the screen. And I think we've fixed up the screens in the back there. You should be able to read it as well. Let's read it together, all right? For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This travailing and this suffering is of no comparison to what is coming. Paul said Jesus is coming back. Yes, today creation is groaning. Yes, it is groaning. Yes, we are seeing all these things happening in the world, but it's telling us the time is coming of His return. And so, church, we got to be ready. We got to make sure our hearts are ready. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You might say, well, it's been going on a long time, Pastor. This world's been messed up a long time. But Paul said, yes, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You see, as long as this world's been groaning, it's just a moment compared to eternity. He said, for our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us. Everyone say, it's working for us. It's working for us. Those groanings and those pangings are working for us a far exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Everyone say temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Yes, we've got birth pangs. Yes, the world is groaning. Yes, there's a lot of trouble in the world. But we don't focus on what we see. We don't focus on the temporal. But we focus on the eternal things. Jesus is coming, church. The planet is groaning, and that's why I believe that we will see, and we are seeing more and more earthquakes as we draw nearer to the second coming of Jesus. You see, God may allow a lot of time to go past and it looks like nothing's happening. But let me tell you, and then suddenly, at the fullness of time, the trumpet will sound. Amen. He's going to come for His church. And you know me as a pastor, I try to be optimistic. But when it comes to this world, I cannot be optimistic. Things will not get better. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can make it through, church. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can make it through. And I remember the words of my grandmother as she read scripture after scripture while she was sitting in a hospital bed. She lowered her glasses and looked over her glasses and she said, Jonathan, we're on the right train. Jesus will take us to the other side. We're on the right train, church. We got the right name. We're looking forward to seeing our Savior. This world may be in trouble for a moment, but in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that will remain shall go to meet Him in the air. I've got one name for you today. I got one sermon, and that is Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, Joel chapter 2. And we read in Joel chapter 2 about the coming of the Lord. And in this day and age, social media has seemed to give everyone a platform. Even people who shouldn't be heard from are heard from. Everybody's got a platform, and we've got a lot of groups, everyone say groups, proclaiming their ideologies. And if you want to look at ideologies and what some people believe, you'll blow your mind. Got people coming out with all sorts of ideologies. We've got all sorts of people, for want of a better word, coming out of the closet. Okay, you could hear a pin drop right there. But I'll tell you, it's time for the church to step up. It's time for the church to proclaim Jesus. Look at this, Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet. Everyone say, blow the trumpet. Sound the alarm. In my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Then I was reading down in verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those little babies that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and here it is, and let the bride come out of her closet. Whew. It's time for the church to stop being so shy and staying behind closed doors. I know there's trouble in the world, but I'm here to tell you the bride is the church, and Jesus is coming back for the church. And I want to tell you, church, it's time for the bride to come out of the closet, and it's time for us to start proclaiming that name, the only saving name, just one name, and that is the name of Jesus. In the last days, we can't afford a quiet church. We can't afford a conservative church where we're just going to sit here and do our little Christian club thing. No, it's time for the bride to come out of her closet. And the bride is the church. It's time to step up and say, we got the name which is above every other name. It's time to tell the world that we are the church of the mighty God. And you know what? You can do what you want. You can try what you want, but we're not going away. Whew. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19. It says here, for there must be heresies among you. And there's a lot of heresies in this world today. And Paul said, for there must be. Everybody say must. There must be heresies among you. And as much as some of these heresies drive us crazy and we want to get rid of them and forget them, Paul says there must be heresies among you, that which are approved may be made manifest. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, think about it. Paul's saying there has to be falsehood. There has to be error. And the reason why there has to be falsehood and error, because it makes the truth shine even brighter. If you go to the jewelry store, go down to Woden and go to Michael Hill if they're still there. But there's a jewelry store down there. You go and look at the diamonds. You say, I want to look at some diamonds. And you'll find that they don't put the diamonds on white velvet. They don't put the diamonds on yellow velvet. They put the diamonds on black velvet. And Paul said, for there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest unto you. You see, the diamonds are put on the black velvet. Why? Because it's the same with the church. There must be heresies. And we, the church, the body of Christ, is a diamond. And we look in this world and we are a church on the black velvet. The darker the world gets, I want to tell you, the diamond of the church will shine brighter. It's time to let the world be the world and let the church be the church. Don't be afraid, Paul says. There must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. And so don't be afraid of the fakes. Don't be afraid of all the falseness. Why? Because the true and the approved will be made manifest. Write it down. Joel chapter 2, verse 16. It's time for the church to come out of her closet. It's time for the bride to come out of her closet. Luke chapter 17. I know I've got a lot of scriptures today. Luke chapter 17, verse 35. I'm preaching Jesus today. Now, I have to admit, I didn't notice this. I often don't read past verse 36. But I was talking to Brother Kent during the week, and I said, look at verse 37. It says in verse 35 of Luke 17, two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. This is talking about the rapture. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. You see, if you want to attract a crowd today, then start talking about when Jesus is going to come back. A lot of people have tried it, you know. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. I believe that guy, Jesus didn't come in 1988. So he went over all of his study. He said, that's right, zero isn't a factor of time. So he wrote another book, 89 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1989. But you want to get people's attention. Start talking about a date or start talking about a year or something like that. In fact, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. So really, you're wasting your time when you try to put a date or a day. The Bible says we will know, though, the season. But a lot of people, you'd be surprised how many people, when I'm talking with them, they say, well, when is Jesus coming back? Everybody say, when? They all want to say, when? It's like they just want to make sure they're ready, you know? I'm not ready now, but if he's coming then, I'll make sure I get ready before then. You can't play that game. If that's the game you're playing, you won't be ready. No man knows the day nor the hour. Be ready. The bridegroom cometh at an hour that you don't know. And so everybody's asking when, but look at this. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered Jesus and said to him, where? Where? Where, Lord? Not when, Lord. Where? Everybody say where. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And so he uses an analogy. He says, as surely as an eagle can find a body in the desert, he says, I know where my church is. I know where the church is. And so where? He says, as surely as wherever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered. Jesus says, don't worry about when, but worry about where. Jesus is coming back for his church, the body of Christ. Notice the disciples, they didn't say when, they said where. And what was Jesus saying? He's saying, just as surely as the eagles can find that carcass in the wilderness, I am going to come back and I'm going to find my church. And so where? We've got to stop asking when, and we need to start saying, where should I be when Jesus comes back? And I've got the answer for that. Where should you be? The answer is, you've got to be in the body. You've got to make sure you're in the kingdom. You've got to make sure you're in the body of Christ. Stop asking when and start making sure that you're in the right place. Stop asking when and start asking where. Because the Bible says, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into, everyone say, one body. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether you be a Jew or a Gentile, whether you be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You see, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride. And Jesus is coming back for a people who are part of that bride, part of that body. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I get into the body? I'm glad you asked. Because Acts chapter 16, it says that we need to be baptized. It says, arise, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. In other words, you're saying, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why did I say that? Because Paul said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You get in the body through baptism. When you're baptized in Jesus' name, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus. I tell you, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The name is Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Everybody say the name. The name. And everybody say Jesus. And so, I want to be baptized like they were in the Bible. Like they did in Jerusalem, baptized in Jesus' name, Acts chapter 2. Like the eunuch was baptized in the name of Jesus. Like the Samaritans, like Cornelius, like Peter preached, like the church at Ephesus in Acts 19. It was in the name of Jesus. Why? Because there's just one name, and that name is Jesus. I want to make sure I'm in the body. I want to make sure I'm in the body. Yes, I get scared when I think about two shall be at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Two will be here working in the field and one's going to be taken and one's left. But notice the disciples, they did not say when. When's this happening? They said where. You've got to make sure you're in the body. You've got to make sure you're in the bride. That is the church. You see, we are a church of many cultures, many nations. We come from all around the world, many backgrounds, but we're all unified by one name, and that name is Jesus. You see, when you're born again, you take on the name of Jesus. It's the name on which all of the family in heaven and earth is named. That is the name of Jesus. We're all touched by one blood, and that is the blood of Jesus. And so if you aren't serving God, let this preacher tell you today, if you're not serving God, if you're not in the body, then you ought to be worried about where this world is headed. Because this world is going downhill. That's why you need to be part of the body of Christ. Isaiah 9:6 is the scripture we read at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But look at verse 7. I know we need Jesus and his Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But look at this. Of the increase of his government, everyone say his government, and peace, there shall be no end. When he's in charge, there is no end of peace. And in this day and age, I want to be in the body of Christ. Why is there so much fear in the world? People are so full of fear. And this is probably one of the greatest advertisements for the church. Because in the church, in the kingdom, his government and peace knows no end. We got a world going out of their mind with fear. But in the kingdom of God, there is peace. We've got hope. We've got a name which is above every other name. It says, and peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You see, you can have peace if you're in the body of Christ. You can have peace. You can know. You don't have to worry, but you can know that you're ready. You see, how do you get into the body? You are baptized into the body. Paul said in Galatians, for as many of you as have been baptized, what? Into Christ, have put on Christ. Jesus is the greatest ology. You see, because if you know Jesus, you know God. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. If you know Jesus, he will make sin forgivable or remissible, if that's a word. The Bible says remission of sins. Knowing Jesus will make joy attainable. And a lot of people are looking for joy. And let me tell you, you'll only find it in Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus will make heaven reachable. Knowing Jesus will make holiness reasonable. Why do you live like the way you live in this world? Why are you different? You say, because I know Jesus. Knowing Jesus and having a living relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in this world. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. The truth is not so much a doctrinal position. The truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Acts, we read about Peter, and we have the lame man at the gate, beautiful. He's there and he's begging. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And see, he was begging for some money, but he got healed. And the healing was instantaneous. The healing was complete, a physical and a spiritual healing. Why? Because he began to rejoice and dance. It was instantaneous, it was complete, and it was all in the name of Jesus. And then right after the healing, when everybody should have been happy, what begins to happen? Persecution. Persecution. And there they are. Peter and John begin to preach. There were 5,000 people that were gathered there. And they said, well, how and why and through what name? And in Acts 3:16, and they said, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man whole. And so you would think that these guys would have got medals or something, you know, heroes. No, it follows that just like today, Christians are persecuted, it follows that they were persecuted also. Why? Because the devil hates the name of Jesus. Why? Because he knows he has to bow to the name of Jesus. And even today in this world, you will see people substitute a curse word for the name of Jesus. That's the devil at work in this world. There is opposition to the name of Jesus. At your workplace, you can talk about God, but when you mention Jesus, it makes people feel uncomfortable. But we are people of the name. We are people of Jesus' name. Don't stay in the closet anymore. Everybody else is coming out of the closet with their ideologies. It's time for the church. Like Joel said in 2:16, it's time for the bride to come out of her closet. Acts 4:10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. Here they are. They didn't run away. They didn't try to hide. They said, be it known unto you all that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, this man stands before you whole. Everybody say healing. Then they went on to say, this is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Silver and gold wasn't enough. Food and clothing wasn't enough. None of those things could take care of the need in this man's life. You see, there are no social answers to spiritual problems, but there is a name, and that is the name above every other name. One name, church, and that name is Jesus. You see, the world has an answer for almost anything, and we've got a sin problem. The Bible says that if there is sin in our life, we cannot go to heaven. If the musicians could come. This world has the answer for everything, and almost everything, I should say. But they don't have the answer for the sin problem. The question is, what shall wash away my sin? And the answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. If the sin problem was a money problem, the banks would have financed it. If the sin problem was a legal problem, the lawyers would have litigated it. If it was an ignorance problem, people would have come with their education. But I want to tell you, the only answer for sin is the blood of Jesus, and the blood is connected to the name. Listen to me a few more minutes. Leviticus 17 verse 11, I love this scripture, it says the life is in the blood. But in the New Testament, it says in John 20 verse 31, the life is in the name. Leviticus says the life is in the blood. New Testament in John says the life is in the name. So let me tell you, if you have the name, you have life. And if you have life, you have blood. And if you have blood, according to Hebrews, you have remission of sins. I want to tell you, if your sins are going to be washed away, it's going to happen when the name of Jesus is called over you, because there is a connection between the blood and the name. That's why when you're baptized, and when anybody in the Bible was baptized, every person that was baptized in the Bible, they said, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it was his blood that was shed. Though your sins be as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like blood, they shall be as white as wool. I was in India. Went there with my good friend. We arrived there and we had a busy preaching schedule. Sister Susranos was with me. We had a very busy preaching schedule. In fact, over those 2.5 days, I preached 18 times in 2.5 days. But it didn't start that well. I woke up in the morning and I had completely lost my voice. And I believe with all my heart it was an attack of the devil. I said to my friend Daniel, who was with me, I said, you just go down. I just need to pray. We started to begin to think, what are we going to do, man? Like, I mean, you're going to preach? And he didn't like that idea either. So I just started to pray. And I didn't have, you know, normally when you lose your voice, you've got some sound, some sort of vibration happening in the back of your throat. But there was nothing, no voice. I was in a place called Varanasi, which is a spiritual stronghold for Hindus in India, a dangerous place to preach. And so I, as my friend went down to have breakfast that day, and I just stayed in the room, and I only had one word, and that was Jesus. And so quietly, without any noise coming out, I just said, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I just began to say that name because I knew that I was in a spiritual battle. And I knew that every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. And as I begin to pray, my voice began to come back little by little by little until I could at least make a sound. And I thought, you know what? God, you're doing something. You're doing something. I know you're healing my voice. And so I said, let's go to the church. Let's go to the church. And I took that microphone in faith. The Bible says, by faith in his name, this man was made whole. It wasn't enough just to say the name, but I had to step out in faith. I took that microphone, Sister Sue. You were sitting there. It was 48 degrees. And I began to preach. And as I opened my mouth, God healed me completely. And I went to preach all day. I preached all night. There were people baptized. We baptized more than 300 people in Varanasi now. They were pastors and leaders. I want to tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus. Let's stand in this place today. Everything is in Jesus. And Jesus is everything to everybody. I've read this before, but to the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star. To the baker, Sister Jess, he's the bread of life. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. To the carpenter, Brother Craig, he's the door. To the doctor, Brother Eugene, he's the great physician. To the educator, Sister Kylie Bryan, he's the teacher. To the electrician, he's the light of the world. To the farmer, he's the sower and he's the Lord of the harvest. To the fireman, he's the water of life. To the florist, he's the rose of Sharon. To the geologist, he's the tried stone and the rock of the ages. To the jury, he's the faithful and true witness. To the laborer, he's the giver of rest. To the lawyer, he's the advocate and mediator. To the merchant, he's the pearl of great price. To the news reporter, he's good tidings of great joy. To the pharmacist, he's the balm of Gilead and the ointment. To the philosopher, he's the wisdom of God. To the photographer, Brother Leon, he's the express image of God. To the printer, Sister Lin Bay, he's the word. To the publisher, he's the author. To royalty, he's the King of Kings. To the shepherd, he's the Lamb of God. To the student, he's the truth. To the theologian, he's the author and the finisher of faith. And to all who believe, he is our Savior. I've come to tell you today, there's just one name. I'm not tying my cart to anything else but Jesus. He is still the answer for the world today. Just one name. And I want to ask you today, do you know him today? The Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on his name? Have you been baptized in his name? Are you in the body today? I want to tell you, Jesus is coming back. Stop asking when and just make sure you're in the right place when he comes. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this timely word, oh God, and a reminder of what's so important. Lord, as the earth groans, Lord God, we look to you, Jesus. We look to you, Lord God. Let us be people, oh God, who look to another day. Have got our eyes not fixed on the temporal things, but oh God, we would have our eyes fixed on the eternal. For all the temporal things will pass away, but only what we do for you will last, oh God. And I pray for this church today. Oh God, we've been through difficult seasons, oh God. Some of us are going through difficult times right now. Oh God, sometimes the pull of this world is so strong, Lord God. People have fallen away and backslidden and gone back into the world. People have been led away by all winds of false doctrine. But oh God, let the church come out of the closet today and say, we believe in Jesus. We stand on the word of God. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church, just pray right now. Pray your own prayer. I prayed for you. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and pray. Hallelujah. Let the while the earth groans, let the church pray with groanings and utterings. Hallelujah. Pray in tongues this morning, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the church be ready. There's just one name. There's just one name. There's just one Savior. There's just one answer. There's just one way. There's just one truth. Jesus, we worship you today. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Whenever I preach on the name of Jesus, I can feel opposition. I can feel opposition. Why? Because the devil hates the name of Jesus. But today, God gave me an intercessor. My wife came and told me there's a sister here today that through this whole service has been interceding. Hallelujah. And I believe we've got the victory in this house today. The word has gone forth. The word has gone forth unhindered in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. It's